September 18th, G.K. Chesterton.
Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real-life stories about men.
G.K. Chesterton was an exuberant man, a keen debater, and a prolific writer. 90 books, 10 novels, and many articles. Best known for his Father Brown mystery series, Chesterton was also a philosopher, lay theologian, and literary and art critic. He has a camp of followers and a camp of haters. Either way, he makes a reader think deeply. He also staged homemade shows at his cottage, in which guests would dress up in 18th century costumes. Chesterton knew how to have fun, and he knew how to do serious work. On this date, in 1909, G.K. Chesterton influenced Gandhi regarding India's independence.
When weak thinking undermines truth, thinking people must speak up. G.K. Chesterton lived in an era of intellectualism when it was popular to debate in public, to trade witty barbs with your opponents, and to deny the existence of God. Chesterton was an intellectual too, and a lover of the one true God. It was his duty and his calling to speak up against the lies being passed off as the new truth. Chesterton was a 300-pound, 6-foot-4 man who wore a cape and tiny glasses pinched to the end of his nose. This was the day he would debate his greatest opponent and respected friend, George Bernard Shaw. They would argue about what to believe and how to live. As he'd often done, Chesterton would wield his favorite weapon, his words. In an auditorium packed with an enthusiastic crowd, Chesterton lumbered toward the stage. Judging by the number of attendees, the gait had done very well. It wouldn't hurt his finances if he'd remembered to sign for his share of the ticket sales, that is. He couldn't remember if he had. Chesterton crushed his cigar, straightened his crumpled hat, finger-combed his magnificent mustache. This was going to be fun. He stepped onto the stage. Shaw, with his snow-white hair and pressed black suit, was already on the stage and was Chesterton's opposite. He was a vegetarian teetotaler, and he liked his cup of tea. Chesterton, on the other hand, loved red meat, red wine, and a good cigar. But the important differences went deeper. For a long, long time in the Western world, most people had believed in a God who was a person and who had created the universe and everything in it. That was a given. And this kind of thinking was called orthodoxy, which means correct teaching. But with the new wave of intellectualism, growing numbers of people called themselves atheists, who said, there is no God, or agnostics, who said, we can't know whether there is a God, or some ambiguous mix of the two. Shaw called himself an agnostic. Chesterton argued that an all-powerful, all-wise creator did indeed exist, and the all-good creator had sent his son to save the world. Chesterton said Christianity had not been tried and found wanting. No, it had been found difficult and left untried. Shaw said it was impossible for people to know whether a personal creator existed, and he actively promoted a socialist agenda. The newspapers made a small fortune publishing the Chesterton-Shaw battles. And, not having TV or internet, people attended debates like these just for the fun of watching these men try to outwit one another. With extra drama to entertain the audience, Chesterton cast his gaze at Shaw. "To look at you," he said to Shaw, "anyone would think a famine had struck England." Without a pause, Shaw responded, "And to look at you, anyone would think you had caused it." The audience roared. And so the debate began. Both Chesterton and Shaw had been socialists as very young men, but Chesterton grew up, denounced socialism, and became a Christian. He chuckled. Despite their differences, he did respect Shaw and enjoyed matching his wit. They danced in circles with words, the audience was always entertained. Chesterton and Shaw might banter, but they would have died rather than really hurt each other. The advertised debate topic varied, but the specific topic didn't matter. Shaw would fight for progress, and he said that progress could only happen if men abandoned all belief. Chesterton, on the other hand, stood for reason and faith. He poked holes in Shaw's theories. He believed his generation must rediscover the reasons for believing in God, or humankind would be lost. Chesterton's admirers said that he stepped into their confusion, turned the tables on the heretics, and exploded their paper castles with a splutter of fireworks. That was his plan, to fight for humanity by confronting its core problem, which was failing to believe in the one true God. He hoped his generation would pay attention and gain understanding. For that purpose, and because there was little else as delightful as an intellectual debate, Chesterton had taken this stage. Proverbs 4:1-4 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live.'" How do you confront weak thinking? When weak thinking undermines truth, thinking people must confront it.
Well, hey man, Eric Bloom, growth pastor at Landing Place Church, here with you today. It's September 18th, and we just heard a great story from G.K. Chesterton. The story mentioned Father Brown. That was actually my first in with Chesterton's work. I think Netflix has the series still going. Father Brown, starred by Mr. Weasley from Harry Potter. Great story about a priest who solves mysteries. And so to watch that show and then to see that that's connected to someone who is an intellectual, fun, deep thinking believer was cool. And so to hear more of his story, there are few things that I'm particularly challenged by, is that he was a deep thinker, and he learned the other side of his counterpart, in this case Shaw, in the atheistic worldview, and was able to know those points and able to speak into that. I know for me, I can get so caught up in my own echo chamber of ideas, whether that's because of the tribe that I'm in, or just the clickbait that's around, to start like forming ideas and conclusions, and not even about doctrinal things, but rather just about cultural things, that I can so easily miss why I believe what I believe, and to be able to speak into those things. And so, for instance, in my context, just relative truth is just such a big part of life, whether that's relative sexuality, relative gender, relative truth, as in my truth is not your truth, and that's okay. We all have our own truth. Like that's the context where I find myself in. But I can find that there is there's a huge discrepancy when we have the absolute truth of the gospel and who God is, and all truth is God's truth. But to be able to bring absolutes into the relative space requires me to understand the arguments of the other side so that I can contextualize the gospel in a way other people can't ignore. And so, guys, what do you need to become a better thinker about? Pick one area, one topic in your life that maybe you need to do some more research and learn the other side, for the sake of being able to know truth and to be able to communicate truth in a winsome way, just like Chesterton. So man, today let's become better thinkers, deeper thinkers, to not just settle for the surface, but to ask the why and the further questions, especially in relational contexts. Be well.